This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Bombshell tonight. Diddy, aka Sean Puffy Combs. Diddy is back in the hole, thrown back in solitary. This is Tupac Shakur reaches beyond the grave to get revenge on Diddy. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Sean Combs apparently refusing jail food. Now over 100 sex assault victims have been vetted at the hands of Sean Combs.
The beatings, the bruises. All I thought about was candy, candy, candy. You know what? I can barely open this Tootsie Roll midgie. Suddenly I've lost my appetite, Sean Combs, and I think it's because of you.
It's so difficult to reflect on the darkest times in your life. Sometimes you gotta do that. I was f***ed up. I hit rock bottom. But I make no excuses. My behavior on that video is inexcusable. I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. Disgusted. I was disgusted then when I did it. I'm disgusted now. I went and I sought out professional help. I had to go into therapy and go into rehab. I had to ask God for his mercy and grace.
You're disgusted. I'm disgusted too. I'm disgusted that even though you're back in the hole, solitary at Fort Dix, again, that you're still getting out early. Why? What am I supposed to tell all of your crime victims and all your alleged crime victims lined up suing you civilly? You're getting out early even though you've landed back in the hole at Fort Dix? This as Sean Puffy Combs, aka Diddy, is planning a comeback. You heard me, a comeback. Who is going to his concert? Satan? Beelzebub? Tot-Mom? A lot happening tonight. Diddy in solitary. Diddy making a comeback. Diddy's release date somehow moved up in the last hour, seemingly overnight. He got another month added on to his jail time. He's still getting out early, and this as seemingly Tupac Shakur, may God rest that man's soul, is reaching back from beyond the grave. Is he gonna point the finger at Diddy? Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know, straight out to Tisa Tales, who covered the trial from the get-go, investigator, commentator, host of Tisa Tales on YouTube. Tisa, what is the hole at Fort Dix?
The hole in Fort Dix is solitary confinement, but unfortunately, it's not like we see in the movies. He does have access to his lawyers, and he is allowed for people to come and visit him. I think it's restricted to an hour. The story behind the solitary confinement is, sources are saying Diddy is wearing this as a badge of honor. He started that fight for his ego to kind of show who was top dog. And now that he is solitary confinement, they are saying he is bragging about it and he is proud of it, which is so odd considering it literally lost him 27 days of precious time away from his family and kids that he claims to care so much about.
Solitary confinement is a form of imprisonment, a person kept alone in a smaller cell, 22 to 24 hours a day with little to no human contact. This is at Fort Dix. Why did this happen to Dave Mack, Crime Stories investigative reporter? Dave Mack, because he got in a fight. He got in a fight behind bars. According to sources, when asked who won, we were told he held his own. Translation, Diddy got a booty beaten. How you like it now, Diddy? After you beat all those women, we saw the bruises. Okay, Dave Mack, what happened? Who gave Diddy a booty beating?
You know, they're not giving us the names or anything like that because they're all behind bars. But, Nancy, this was a shoving match that escalated because it's Diddy. Now, they say Diddy felt like he was being dissed by this other inmate. What was said, I don't know. But I do know this, that the imprisonment at FCI Fort Dix is kind of like, in-school suspension. This is prison at the lowest form. So he ends up in this so-called fight. He gets his butt whipped by another inmate. And then they separate them and send Diddy to solitary. But Nancy, look, solitary that you and I think about is not what's happening here at Fort Dix. It's the best of the best. You realize that in solitary at Fort Dix that you can actually sometimes have a cellie? They put you in a cell by yourself, but we might have to put you in there with a roommate. I mean, it's just crazy. So basically he gets, you know, some time away from the crowd.
Wait a minute. He's getting blankets, a mattress, pillow, toilet paper, shaving tools, legal and religious materials. Whoa, wait. Dr. Dwayne Hendricks is joining us, former associate warden, MDC Brooklyn, former senior warden, U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, 30 years in the can, so to speak. And he's the author of Who Are You? See It, Say It, Seize It. And he's the president of A New Daylight Foundation. Now, that is the jewel in your crown, Dr. Hendricks. The New Daylight Foundation, and of course your children. Dr. Dwayne Hendricks, do you mean to tell me that after all Sean Combs has put all these women through, and men, reportedly, solitary confinement is more like, let's see, what do you have at school when you're naughty or your skirt is too short? Detention. That's what it is. Religious materials, toilet paper, shaving materials. What's next? Champagne and caviar?
No. And currently he's in administrative detention. All those things, you just know that he does have access.
Wait. Hold on. Wait. I'm sorry. Did I hear administrative detention? The hole at Fort Dix is actually detention hall, like where you can't chew gum? Really? Are you serious?
No, he's actually in his cell 23 hours a day. He does not have access to just getting up and leaving the cell, going to recreation, going to his job. So it's almost, so to speak, like having cabin fever, you know. So basically, he'll be in his cell pending the outcome of this investigation. I can tell you the agency, you know, tries not to have inmates behind in special housing, you know, for a long period of time, unless it is absolutely necessary for safety and security of the institution. So this fight occurred about 2 weeks ago. So I can tell you they'll probably have this investigation wrapped up within the next week or so. You normally would give staff about 21 days to do these investigations. And then they'll turn their findings over to the disciplinary hearing officer, who will make the final determination on whether he'll lose any good time that he's earned or whether he'll lose privileges such as visiting, loss of job or commissary or some additional sanctions, depending on the outcome of the investigation. Additionally, he may be separated from the other inmate that he had this altercation with, and depending on who the perpetrator was, that individual may or may not be transferred away from FCI Fort Dix.
Okay, let me talk to somebody that has been at solitary. Daryl Cohen is joining us, high-profile defense attorney out of the Atlanta jurisdiction. He's a former felony prosecutor with me. You can find him on Facebook at Daryl B., as in brother, Cohen. What's solitary? I don't like the airbrushed version. Wait, he may be telling the truth, actually, that Dwayne Hendricks is giving me. What is solitary? Because it doesn't sound bad at all.
Nancy, they're different solitary. And at Fort Dix, solitary seems to be very social solitary. Other places, solitary is you're by yourself for 22, 23 hours a day. You do not have visitors. You have some literature that you can read, but you certainly aren't having the wonderful social time of your life. Here, it appears that Sean Puff Daddy Combs has the best of the best. And is he being treated as a celebrity because of who he is? Or is it really the norm at Fort Dix? It's hard to say, but it's not a bad facility.
We've gone back and forth on his release date. His sentence has been cut after this last altercation, as you guys are calling it. It's basically a fight. And word is, Diddy got a booty beating. That said, 1 month has been added to his already reduced time. There you go. He got another slap on the wrist. I wonder how all the crime victims, the rape victims, the sex assault victims feel about that. Tisa tells, how many times do we know of, anyway, that Sean Combs has broken the rules behind bars? The big man that's used to telling everybody else what to do seemingly can't follow the rules.
Interesting enough, there are three times. The first time, something was illegal. I'll just say it, with toilet wine in the Fort Dix.
That just kind of rolled off your tongue. You said toilet wine. It's Pruno. So Diddy's making booze and getting a snoot full behind bars, I think is what you're trying to say. Go ahead.
Yeah. So somebody was making booze and Diddy got a few cups of that and he was caught. Okay. That was the first infraction. While that happened, there was another scandal going on where Diddy was making three-way calls, which are illegal. You're only allowed to call one person. He was making three-way calls while he was in Fort Dix. And in the three-way calls, he was asking someone who he first claimed was his legal team. And then they said, no, they keep us out of it. But he was talking to a woman who he told to bring unmarked bills, I think 200 unmarked bills in a paper bag to Fort Dix. Again, sounds shady and illegal to me. Now, he got slaps on the hand for that. But now we literally escalate to the prison fight. And my sources in Fort Dix says even the prison fight was caused by Diddy breaking the rules. There's no smoking in prison, supposed to be. Diddy was smoking Diddy was smoking in an enclosed area. That enclosed area and smoking caused the guards to crack down and to do a raid for contraband. In the raid for contraband, the inmate he was fighting with, his phone was actually seized. After that raid, the man went to Diddy and said, "What the hell is going on?" And that's how this fight actually ensued. Again, infraction on infraction on infraction. And if the reports are true about why the fight started, it does show a pattern that Diddy can't find the rules. I know it's 21 days for the investigation to be completed. They automatically added 30 days onto his sentence because, hello, there needs to be some type of punishment. But Diddy seems to be really, really worried, and his lawyers are rumored to be gearing up to challenge the fact that he might be kicked out of this program that is fast-tracking him out as a result of the fight. And if he is kicked out, then all the good time he's earned will be clawed back. Now, of course, his lawyers are gearing up for a legal challenge. Nobody knows if he'll be kicked out of the program. But there is a chance that he's facing very serious consequences, depending on the severity of the fight, the injuries, and what their investigation actually holds.
I'm so sorry. But I'm committed to be a better man each and every day. I'm not asking for forgiveness. I'm truly sorry.
Oh, was that Diddy again begging for forgiveness? Again? Oh, Diddy, at it again. Okay, is it true, Dave Mack, that Sean Combs, in another attempt to job the system, beat justice, to shave time off of his sentence, which he did, he went into prison rehab? That's a yes, no. Did Diddy go into prison rehab?
Yes, he did.
That was three words. Okay, Dr. Duane Hendricks, does anybody in at Fort Dix know their rear end from a hole in the ground? They don't know that Sean Combs has no intention of going to rehab, of working on himself, of becoming a better version of himself. That's crap, okay? Because when you don't know a horse, look at his track record. He's actually appealing his conviction, saying his homemade porn is free speech. Does that sound like someone trying to better themselves? Because it doesn't to me. So he joins rehab and he gets time shaved off his sentence. He's using the people at Fort Dix and they're letting it happen. Hence my question, do they know their ass from a hole in the ground? Not rhetorical. I really want to know. They don't see what's happening?
Well, they gave him an opportunity. They basically gave him a layup to try to find reform within himself. He's working in the chapel, which is next to the education building, which houses most of those.
I'm sorry, I just choked again. Sean Combs mm-hmm. is working in the chapel?
Yes, he's working in the chapel, which puts him in proximity to the education building so he can take those First Step Act credit courses so he can earn up to 10 days off for every 30 days that he completes these courses. And I think that's why his release date has been dropping, you know, several months since he's arrived. So, and if what Tisa is reporting in terms of him creating a hot and what we call a hot environment in those units, it makes sense that he got into this altercation because, again, when one person creates an atmosphere that creates issues for other inmates who have cell phones, drugs, alcohol and all these other things, then obviously there's going to be an altercation. So if all of this is true, he is the biggest screw up in inmate history. I mean, they gave him a layup to go to Fort Dix. He didn't have to get on a flight across the country like all most other inmates have to do.
Danny Pinter, for a guy that's used to flying on his own private jet, I guess this is sort of a punishment, but you know what, Danny is the chief legal officer at the National Center on Sex Exploitation. Just hold that thought for a moment. Sex exploitation, what is that? That is sex assaulting little girls, 4, 5, younger, teen girls, women, other victims that are weaker than individuals like Sean Combs, that are not as powerful, wealthy, or cunning than people like Sean Combs. And they are raped, they are sodomized, they are trafficked from man to man to man to man, having up to 30 partners in one day, and then getting beaten if they don't comply. I remember the testimony. I remember the pictures of these women. They came in front of a jury and told them they were beaten, threatened, coerced by Sean Combs. All right, so while I am making light of the lax punishment behind Fort Dix, let's don't lose sight of what Combs is accused of doing. Yes, I know he walked on several of those charges, but I remember the testimony. Even though the jury was starstruck by Sean Combs, I'm not. Danny Pinter, thank you for being with us from the National Center on Sex Exploitation. All joking aside, it makes me sick. It makes me sick to see justice turned on its ear. And his big punishment is that he's in detention, working in the chapel, getting 3 hots in a cot, sneaking booze, cell phones, allegedly drugs behind bars. And you know what this fight was over, Danny? I'm telling you right now, He, like Dr. Hendricks said, has access to all this stuff that other inmates don't. Somebody said something to him to, in his mind, diss him, disrespect him, and they get in a fight. That's what happened. And the big man got a booty beaten to boot, all right? How do you think all these sex attack victims feel when they hear of his cushy life behind bars and his early release date?
It's just another slap in the face to the victims, which has been a highlight of this entire case. And Sean Combs is willing to do anything except take accountability, which we see. And like most predators, it's all about ego. It sounds like a lot of special treatment for this celebrity to me, because as we've heard today, it's not exactly been good behavior that he's been exhibiting in prison, yet we keep seeing that prison sentence go down and down and down. So truly, this is a slap in the face to victims.
Again, guys, Danny Pinter is joining us, National Center of Sex Exploitation. People often ask me, why are you so angry? Why aren't you smiling? I have represented in court women and minorities my whole legal career, and I've seen what trafficking does to a young girl, to a woman. They're never the same. And then they're afraid to testify because they think there'll be retaliation. They'll think people will blame them, and they do. And then the guy walks, which is what happened here. Now, this is just the poisonous icing on the sour cake, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Same here. And this argument his attorneys are making on appeal, that if he brings a camera to a crime scene, all of a sudden it's free speech activity. That's not how it works. And again, we see this lack of accountability, lack of remorse, which colors everything that Sean Combs does.
To Dr. Janie Lacey joining us, you know her well, psychotherapist, CEO of Life Counseling Solutions, author of How to Heal from a Toxic Relationship. Boy, you know what? I'd be willing to pay to send that book to all of his victims. Wait, I don't know if I can afford it. He's got so many. She's also the star of Let's Talk About It with Janie Lacey. That's a podcast on YouTube, and you can find her at janielacey.com. Dr. Janie, thank you for being with us. Please, he got dissed behind bars, so Dee Dee had to start a little hair fight. Please.
You know, Nancy, when I think about this, I think about what prison does, right? It strips away everything P. Diddy, a powerful person, used to have to stay in control, right? The entourage, the image, the ability to buy his way out of a room. And I think what we're seeing here is what surfaces when the control disappears. It tells us everything, right? A fight behind bars tells us the person, when you remove all the things around him, he's still the same person. His instinct is not to de-escalate. It's to continue to try to dominate. And I think that's worth paying attention to, because that's a pattern. And what we see and what we're hearing in this conversation, right? The one thing that gets lost is these victims. And we know that with all these victims that continues to come forward, right? Silence isn't proof that nothing happened. It's just often proof of exactly how much power the other person held. And I want to make sure that we don't lose this and all of that, because the system's finally catching up to the reality of trauma and giving them a space to have a voice. And these survivors have legal windows and the cultural permission to start talking about things. But he himself, accountability, credibility, and him staying the same, removing all the things around him, we're seeing what's coming up. And that's still the same person who wants control.
This, as we learn, Sean Combs still begging Trump for a pardon. Stop, Combs. Stop, Trump. I know you're not listening to me, but don't do it. Do not do it. That said, even though he can't get a pardon from Trump, God willing, he is making a comeback. Yes, Sean Combs is making a comeback, and this is how he's doing it.
In cases where someone's career is on the line, like, for example, let's say like Diddy.
Diddy is going to be okay when he gets out. So what you guys hear right now is a lot of noise and anti-Diddy. But if Diddy, knowing him and knowing the type of money that he uses to invest in what he does, the first thing, because he's brilliant as a marketer. You can say a lot of things about him, but he's probably one of the most brilliant business and marketers that have probably walked this earth since we've been alive. He has a social gauge. You know, he knows how to get to the mind and the strings and the hearts of people. They even talked about when he was in court, how he kept, you know, engaging with the jurors and doing the little heart signs. And, you know, strategically, I think what he needs to do first when he initially comes out, he would need to spend time with his family. It needs to be a dark period, right? So that he can show that there is some remorse. See, the thing about crisis is that you need to show remorse and you need to show accountability. So he needs to get involved with different nonprofits and give backs. He needs to show a softer side of him, which he, of course he will. Being extremely supportive of women. And he has to show that he has support of women that's not tied to sexual desire. So I guarantee you that he will probably release a documentary. He probably will also release a book. And he's going to talk, because right now we haven't heard his side. We just only heard everybody else.
That from Motion and Success Insta. Wait, did I hear him say show Diddy's soft side? Tisa Tales joining us from the Tisa Tales show on YouTube. Didn't we already see his soft side when he had to dress up in a woman's burqa and do you know what on the sides watching his porn?
Listen.
Listening, not hearing. I don't think it's funny. I think it's a shame what's happening in our justice system right now. A comeback, my rear end. Why? How is he making a comeback? Nonprofits, women's causes, charities, what?
Listen, the publicist, God bless her soul, publicist's jobs are to say, don't worry, everybody's going to forget when you sacrifice 12 puppies in Times Square. Just show them that golden smile. The publicist is giving a publicist's answer. And I agree with you. I was in court, okay? It was disgusting, the miscarriage of justice, okay? He wasn't working the jury. He was looking at starstruck people. The issue with Diddy is, yes, he can go, if you're willing to listen, and he'll say that, you know, porn was performance art, you know, and when he got into a fight, he's probably going to say that was interpretive dance that he was performing for his arts and culture division in prison. The fact of it with Diddy making a comeback is, first of all, let's talk facts. Diddy, even before this all happened, he wasn't able to get his comeback album off. Yes, there will always be someone that will be eligible to be president of the Future Wife Beaters of America Club. But those aren't the people Diddy wants. Diddy wants to be admired. He wants to be in the top echelon of society. He wants to be looked at as a philosopher king, sort of. And the success he wants, I think that it's going to evade him, just because when the courts fail, there's something that goes back to the dawn of society where it is public shaming, public pressure. Diddy's issue is, regardless of what he says, I do think times are changing. I think thanks to your work, many of the panels' work, people look at domestic violence and they look at sex crimes a lot differently. And even if you're not convicted, who wants to be the fine, upstanding citizen that goes to a Diddy concert, that has his book on the coffee table? That's the issue Diddy faces. Yes, he can always go in the mud and find idiots to go to a show, but Diddy doesn't want the mud. He wants to be looked at almost as a deity. So this comeback that he speaks of for thinking people, think people that have a moral compass and people that want more for themselves and people around them, I just don't see this comeback happening. And on social media, okay, unless Diddy's people are being bullied and his fans are being shamed from coming out, on social media, across every demographic, social, economic, and religious, he is persona non grata. So again, good luck with this comeback he speaks of.
This as seemingly Tupac Shakur is reaching from beyond the grave. Will he point the finger at Sean Combs, aka Diddy? People swear Sean Combs was involved in the Tupac Shakur hit. It's called a big mystery. It's not a mystery. There are thousands of people milling around on the streets and sidewalks of Vegas 24/7. He gets shot in plain view. and nobody saw a thing. That's not true. In the last hours, Dave Mack, a witness list has been released in the Tupac Shakur murder trial. Tell me about the trial.
Nancy, you know, this is the trial of Keithy D., Dwayne Keithy D. Davis, the sole defendant, mind you, all right? This long-awaited trial, Nancy, centers around the murder of Tupac. He was shot in his car in Vegas as they were leaving a boxing match, right? And you mentioned of 24/7 people all the time in Vegas. Well, it was even greater on that night in 1996. The people gearing up to testify, the witness list, Nancy, right now, Marion Shug Knight, 61 years old. He was injured in that shooting that killed Tupac. He was there in the vehicle. Oscar Goodman. Oscar is now 87 years old. He was the mayor of Las Vegas from 1999 to 2011. Now, before he started serving as mayor, Goodman worked as a defense attorney and represented a number of defendants who were part of organized crime. He's on the witness list. David Chesnoff, he is the law partner of Goodman's, listed as another witness. Reggie White Jr., Reggie White Sr., Reggie White Jr. is the former head of security at Death Row Records. And Davis said that Wright was the man who organized the hit on Tupac.
Something really important to point out here is that law enforcement, and we're talking federal DEA agent interviews with Dwayne Keithy D. Davis, suggest that he pointed the finger at Combs, having put a $1 million bounty on the head of Tupac. Now, this finger pointing was strong enough that when the claim was made, law enforcement went into overdrive researching Diddy and his possible involvement and found, quote, no credible evidence to investigate any further or to charge Diddy in relation to the Tupac murder. I think it's important, Nancy, to point out no credible evidence. And the man who made the claim is the man going on trial, Dwayne Keithy D. Davis.
Dave Mack, let me understand. At the get-go, there was an ambush of Tupac on an elevator in one of the big hotels. Why are you showing me that shot of Shakur? Why am I getting a mugshot? The man's dead. Show me a beauty shot, for Pete's sake. You know, you showed me Control Room every photo of Sean Combs dressed all up at all of these parties. Then Tupac Shakur, one of the most talented people to ever live, you show me his mugshot. Really? Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Tisa tells Dave Mack. Tupac was ambushed on an elevator. Let's just start with that. In a posh hotel. Tupac insinuated that Diddy was involved. Diddy didn't like that. Listen.
Dwayne Keithy D. Davis claims credit for Tupac's murder on BET and in his memoir. He says Puffy Combs wanted Knight and Tupac's heads after their diss track Hit 'Em Up. When Davis offers to carry out the hits, Combs agrees to pay him $1 million. According to Davis, Eric Zip Martin, a New York drug dealer, suggests they have the perfect opportunity to carry out Puffy's hit and even provides the gun. Davis, Anderson, Terrence Brown, and DeAndre Smith stake out the club where Shakur is performing, but Tupac's a no-show, and the Crips abandon the plan. Driving down the strip, they spot Knight and Tupac stopped in traffic. Brown flips a U-turn in their white Cadillac. Davis passes Anderson the gun, and Anderson leans over Smith to shoot Tupac.
We'll wipe their out quick, you know? It's nothing.
Who brought up the amount of $1 million?
He did.
Puffy did?
Yeah.
Biggie ever involved in any of these conversations about hitting
no.
Tupac?
Okay.
It was always just Puff and Zip.
Yeah. This is all Puffy's doing. Yeah.
Now, let's get the timing down regarding potential motive to murder Tupac. Potential motive. As of tonight, Sean Combs is not charged in the murder of Tupac Shakur. A witness list came out. But hey, hold on, Teasy Tales. Daryl Cohen, you want to tell me that everybody that is on that witness list and more aren't going to be ready to point the finger at Sean Combs to save their own skin?
Nancy, they're going to do whatever they need to do to make sure the truth is told, which means protect me because my skin means more to me than Puff Daddy's skin. And by the way, Nancy, my memory about Puff Daddy, wasn't there some sort of a situation at a hotel in Hollywood that was on video that showed what a wonderful human being he was in addition to all of this?
I would love to show it, but we would be accused of perpetuating violence on women if we showed the truth. Yes. Yes. It shows him in detail on video. And if that hadn't been made public, the case would never have gone forward. You're right, Daryl Cohen, of him beating and dragging Cassie Ventura when she was trying to get away from a freak-off. She was tired of being videoed for his enjoyment, videoed in porn. That's right. And then when she wouldn't do what he said, he comes out in a towel, nothing but a towel. He gets mad finally because she won't do what he wants, and he throws and breaks an expensive vase. Oh, yeah, I knew I was going to have to see that. Thank God the towel didn't fall off. Back to the murder of Tupac Shakur. Daryl Cohen, you and I have seen it. Of course, you got to consider the source that someone would be saying it to save their own skin. You and I have seen it. I can't even count the times in court. It's just like, let me look at my watch. I'm about to hear them blame somebody else. I would not be surprised, as you and I are talking, because we've both seen it in court a million times, someone pointing the finger at Diddy in court. This, as we learn, Tisa Tales joining us from Tisa Tales Show on YouTube. Combs just sold his Star Island home for, what was it, $55 million?
Yeah, $55 million sale. But even if you get to the story about that, it shows Diddy being an oily little weasel. He was forced to sell the home for $55 million because prior to that, he was entering into a secret deal to sell the home for $55 million. When they got to closing, they refused to show clean title. So the deal fell through. The gentleman that he was supposed to sell it with then petitioned the court. He filed a lawsuit, even though it was supposed to go to arbitration, saying they want the courts to force sell. And wouldn't you know it, Diddy's team said, this is ridiculous. You didn't have to put it in the media. And wouldn't you know it, a couple of weeks later, the home was sold for $55 million. Now, interestingly enough, before the fight with Diddy happened in jail, and we'll see actually if there's a real punishment metered out for that horrible behavior. Diddy was thinking that he was going to be home by November of 2027, or maybe even summer of 2027. And again, when he got that hope, they're saying that's when he took back the offer or tried to slow down the offer for selling the home. So the thing is with Sean Diddy Combs, as I'm sure you know, everything that happens when you get under the layers, there's a pattern of him just being slippery, him being weaselly, and nothing is as easy as it seems. But the $55 million home, he thought he needed the money. Then something happened and he said, I didn't. And he tried to back out and the sale was actually forced. So not sure how happy Diddy is about that sale.
We wait as justice unfolds. But don't worry, Sean Combs. The itty bitty ditty committee is on you like a cheap suit. We don't forget. If you know, or you think you know anything regarding Sean Combs' prosecution, cases against him, or in the Tupac Shakur case, call Homeland Security, 877-447-4847. Repeat, 877-447-4847. Tonight, we remember an American hero, Deputy Constable Caleb Rule, Fort Bend County, Texas, passed away in the line of duty after 15 years on the force, leaving behind wife Eden and four children without a dad. American hero, Deputy Constable Caleb Rule. Thank you to our guests, but especially to you for being with us tonight. Nancy Gray signing off. I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.